Pastor, aren't you glad you can hear his voice whispering sweet peace? There's many times we need to hear that. Good job, ladies. You too, Tim. I want to use for text tonight, if you want to take a Bible and read along with me, from Acts chapter 10. Beginning with verse 1, Acts chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea. I used to pronounce that Caesarea, but I realized it was named after Caesar, so it's got to be Caesarea. called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, and he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Thursday evening, Judy and I got home from Florida about 8 o'clock and went to bed. And then I woke up about 5 o'clock in the morning. Usually, I couldn't go back to sleep, and usually if I'm awake 5 minutes or so and can't go back to sleep, usually I'll think, well, maybe I need to be praying for somebody, or maybe God wants to talk to me. And so I just sometimes just have a little talk with Jesus. And so Friday morning, about 5 o'clock when I woke up, and stayed awake a little while, I said, Jesus, is there something you want to tell, you want to talk to me about? And he said, come to think of it, There is. And so I said, all right, I'm listening. And so it seemed that he said to me, do you remember 15 years ago when you and I had a conversation and we talked about a word? And I said, I come to think of it, I do remember that. And he said, that word that we talked about was the word celebrate. And I said, yes, I remember. I remember that conversation. And he said to me, he said, you know, you were talking about maybe preaching a series of sermons on that word, celebrate. Now, don't get worried. You might be thinking, well, he's going to talk about celebrate recovery. But at that time, I'd never heard of celebrate recovery, and so I started thinking and listening to the Lord, and I remembered that I had thought about preaching that series of sermons and maybe preach on the topics of let's celebrate God's creativity or let's celebrate God's power or let's celebrate the plan of salvation or let's celebrate the power of God. Let's celebrate the Word of God. Let's celebrate the church. There's so many things that we could celebrate. And so I continued to listen to the Lord, and I heard him say to me, I want you to preach on let's celebrate diversity. And I said, diversity? You really want me to start there? And the Lord said to me, yes, that's where I want you to start. Let's celebrate diversity. So that was between 5 and 7 o'clock Friday morning. At about 8:35, I was driving down 107 cutoff headed towards the church. And I received a text from Pastor Nathan. And he said, if you have a sermon on your heart, I plan to preach it Sunday night. So I came on to church. I walked in, said hello to everybody, and went on to the office and sat down and started thinking. I'm thinking, Lord, where would I start? Where would I begin? Let's celebrate diversity. What would I say? And I had walked into Thomas's office and sat down, talked with him for a couple of minutes, and told him that I was going to be preaching Sunday night, and told him what I was going to be preaching on, and went on and started hitting the books. And a little while, Thomas walked in, and he said, "Have you read Acts chapter 10?" lately. And I said, no, but it's the story of Peter and Cornelius. And so I read that passage of Scripture and realized that it was a fit for the subject, let's talk about, let's celebrate diversity. And so here's the story. We've read part of it, but here's the story. Cornelius, the Bible says, was a devout man, a man of prayer, a generous man who honored God, who believed in God. And one day when he was praying, an angel appeared to him. And he said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. God has seen your generosity. And you are to send for a man named Simon Peter, who is at the house of Simon the Tanner in the city of Joppa, about 30 miles south. And he said, you're to send for him, and he will come and he'll tell you what to do. And so we're told in the scriptures that Cornelius sent for two of his servants and a soldier, and sent three men to Joppa to find Peter and bring him back. And then the Bible turns to the scene in Joppa, and there we find the Apostle Peter up on the roof of Simon the Tanner's house, and he's there praying, and the Bible says that while he's praying, he realizes he's hungry. And he would have eaten except for the fact that they were still preparing food for him. And while he was waiting, the Bible says he fell into a trance. And in that trance, he saw an object descending down from heaven by the four corners. It looked like a sheet that was being held by four corners. And when he looked in, he saw all kinds of animals, four-footed animals and animals that were crawling around on their belly, and all kinds of animals were in that sheet. And he heard a voice that said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "I can't do that." He said, "Nothing unclean has ever touched these lips, or nothing common has ever touched these lips." And we're told that took place three times, that very scene. And each time Peter said, "I can't do that. Nothing unclean has ever touched my lips." Peter said, "I can't do that. I'm too spiritual. I can't do that. I'm sanctified. I can't do that. That's not Church of God. I can't do that. That's not Church of God doctrine." And then I can just hear the Lord speaking to him and saying, "Now, Peter, you need to remember who you're talking to here. You're talking to somebody that knows who you are, and who knows what you are, and knows what you've done, and knows where you live. You need to remember who you're talking to here." And so I'm sure that Peter, knowing the scriptures, probably remembered what is said in the Psalms, in Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, the psalmist said, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." So what's God saying here as he's talking to Peter? God would have said to Peter, "I know you. Listen, He knows me. He knows everything about me. The psalmist reminds us that he knows what's going through our minds. He knows what we're thinking about. He knows what we're about to say before we say it. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we get up. He knows when we go to bed. He knows when we get out of bed. He knows everything about us. He knows our genetic makeup, our DNA. He knows the intimate details of our life. He knows our physical condition. He knows our mental condition, our spiritual condition. He knows our emotional condition. He knows everything that affects us. He knows all about it. He knows what we say, what we think. He knows why we say and think and do the things that we do. He knows what kind of an environment you and I have been exposed to. He knows what kind of relationships that you and I have had throughout life. He knows our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups. And we're not an enigma to him. He does not despise us. He does not reject us. But he starts with us where we are to lead us to where he wants us to be. And that's what he was doing with Peter. You know, Peter had been traveling around and doing some preaching. He had an encounter with the Apostle Paul. We are told in Antioch that the Apostle Paul confronted Peter there in Antioch because he had been fellowshipping with the Gentile believers until some of the Jewish leaders came along. And when they showed up, the Bible says that Peter separated himself from them and would not fellowship with them any longer. And Paul said, "I withstood Peter to the face for what he did." Because he withdrew from the Gentiles because of his prejudice and the Jewish prejudice towards them. And so God knew what was going on with Peter. He knew that Peter had been doing some preaching and seeing some people saved and having some success in the ministry, but Peter had gone just so far in his walk with God and in his relationship with other people who needed to hear the gospel and had refused to go any further. And God knew what was going on. And Peter was getting in a rut and staying there. And God was about to rock his world. And that's what happened here in Acts chapter 10. God said to Peter, there's some people beyond what you're allowing yourself to reach out to, and I want the gospel to reach all of mankind. But Peter was drawing lines, and the very fact that they were different, the Gentiles were different, was stopping Peter from going any further. Let's celebrate diversity. And while we're thinking about diversity, you know, when you take a look at what the Scripture has to say, God is the author of diversity. Over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. where you read about the creation. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. One old brother said, God walked out on the front porch of nowhere, and he spoke to nothing, and it became something. And the Bible tells us that God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God made the sun to rule the day, to give light and to rule the day. And God made the moon to rule the night, and he called the light day, and the night, the darkness he called night. And we're told that God, in his creation, then he separated the atmosphere and around the earth. He separated the waters and the land, and the dry land appeared. And then God began by creating plants and caused the earth to be filled with vegetation. And then God began creating the animals. He created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and the animals that walk on the earth, of all kinds, and of great diversity. And then the Bible says that God created man, male and female. He created them. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he did create male and female. And there are no two people who are born into this world who are exactly alike. God is the author of diversity. God made man, and he made him in his own image. He made male and female. And then the Bible goes on telling the story of mankind, and we get to the point where they get together because they speak the same language, and they decide they're going to build a tower that later is called the Tower of Babel. And God saw what they were doing, and so God confused their language and scattered them across the face of the earth. So God is the author of diversity. So the rest of this story about Peter tells us that after he'd had a little come to Jesus talk with God, God said to him, now, Peter, you need to get your bad self down and meet your guests and be a good host. There's some men who've come to find you because God sent them, and they're going to take you back to Cornelius, and you're to go and tell him what he needs to do. And so Bible tells us that Peter went down, met these men, and sat down and had a meal with them after he'd had a talk with God. The next morning they got up and journeyed to Caesarea, to the house of Cornelius. When they got there, and Cornelius and Peter had an opportunity to talk, they decided they'd bring everybody together in Cornelius' household, and Peter went before them, and the Bible says that he that he preached unto them the gospel. He told them about Jesus' death on the cross. He told them about his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, and that he was God's sacrifice for their sins. And the Bible says, as Peter was preaching the gospel to them, that the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and that they were saved, and later on they were baptized. And so they heard the gospel. Peter obeyed God and took the gospel to them. Listen, you and I need to celebrate the diversity of this world that God has created for you and I to enjoy, and let God use us to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not allow these things to hold us back from taking the gospel to our friends and neighbors and people that are different from us, people who don't see things the same way that we see them. As I said, Miss Judy and I spent a few days in Florida. While we were there, I played golf 4 times. Had a great time. Each time I went out to the golf course, this kind of thing is exciting to me, is meeting new people. I remember when I was in 1952, I remember vividly when my family was moving from Jefferson County to Franklin, Ohio. And my dad had gone there and gotten a job, and he'd come back to get the family. I remember vividly the night before we were to leave, I lay in bed and lay awake all night long. I was so excited. I was excited about all the new people I was going to have an opportunity to meet when we moved to Ohio. I grew up with that desire, with that excitement in my life about meeting different kinds of people. One time when my dad was in the service, we were riding the train to visit with my dad out in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I hadn't been around very many black people. And there was a black lady and her little son traveling alongside us. I remember sitting beside of her. I'd take my finger and put it on my tongue, and I'd rub it across her arm. And she said to me, "Honey, that black won't rub off." Her little boy was sitting there beside me, and my mother had given me some gum to chew, and I chewed it for a while until most of the flavor was gone, and I gave it to that little black boy, and he chewed it for a while. And then when he got tired of it, I was going to take it back and chew it some more. And my mom wouldn't allow me to do it. But people have always fascinated me. I've never understood why anyone would be afraid to meet new people. Why we would draw back and be reluctant just because somebody's different from us. It fascinates me. I believe God wants us to celebrate diversity. But while I was, let's go back to my to golf. While I was playing golf, I played golf with different people. Just about every time I went. And one day, I played with three other men. One of them looked like Robert De Niro. He and his nephew were Italians. They reminded me of the movie The Godfather. And they had a friend, a relative with them. His name was Paul. He had a head of gray hair, long hair. And I got to talking with him and found out that he was a charismatic preacher, an evangelist. And he talked a lot about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he was talking about one thing, and I was talking about something else. But we had a conversation during the whole time we were together. And when we finished and we were getting ready to part, I reached out and shook hands with Paul. And I said, Paul, if I don't see you anymore, I'll see you in heaven. There was another person who played along with us one day, and it was a lady. She was from Switzerland, and as she talked, she talked about the things that she was struggling with and how she'd had some bad experiences while she was here in the United States, and that most people in Switzerland do not believe in God. They're either atheists or agnostics. And she talked about how she'd lost her business and her husband had 19 stents in his heart and all the things that they'd been going through. And I took every opportunity to talk to her about Jesus. And when we finished the game and everybody was leaving, I said to her, I said, ma'am, I'd like to recommend Jesus to you. And I'd shared my testimony with her. I told her what God had done in my life and what an adventure it had been for me to live for the Lord and serve the Lord and meet so many different kinds of people in my lifetime. And I said, I recommend Jesus to you. And she said, Ralph, she said, you just keep on being happy and you just keep on enjoying living life. And I said, I hope you'll try Jesus. So let's celebrate diversity. There are so many more people that need to hear the gospel. Just because they're a little different from you and I shouldn't hinder us from reaching out to them and telling them about the Savior. There is diversity that we need to celebrate all around us. God created the world that you and I live in. There's different ways to worship. You may worship God by just singing a song. That's all right. Somebody else may worship God and lift one hand. That's all right. Somebody else may worship God and lift two hands. That's all right, too. Somebody else may worship God by shouting, "Thank you, Jesus." That's all right, too. Let's celebrate diversity. I was thinking about the neighbors that live around us there, around the house that we have in Florida. There's a man who lives beside of us. On one side, he and his wife. He's very liberal. He's really not a good neighbor. There's a man that lives across the street who came over and cut our jasmine vines down because they were on his fence. He's a wealthy man, but he's a miserable person. There's another man who lives there, a young man who had an operation on his spine and was paralyzed from the neck down. And he's working his way back with getting the use of his arms and legs again. There's many others that are much the same. And as far as I know, not one of them knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. As I talk to them these past few days and listen to their stories, I realize that we need, there's people like that all around us, every one of us, who need to know that God loves them, who needs to know that there's a better way of life, who need to know that there's hope for them, for eternity, if they'll just trust Jesus Christ. And you know what that means to me? It means that I need to always be at my best for Jesus. And everything I say to them, and how I respond to them, and everything I do. Because there's people all around us, folks, that need Christ. And we need to always be our best for Him. And the only way we can do that is celebrate the diversity that is in the world that we live in. You know, you don't have to agree with me to go to heaven. You don't even have to like me to go to heaven. Truth is, Miss Judy and I don't always agree. But you know what? If we did, one of us would be unnecessary if we always agreed. So you don't have to agree with me. But you do have to agree with God. Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, agree with God, agree that we've sinned, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Not just all of you who look the same, think the same, and feel the same, but come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. You know, diversity should not divide us. Diversity shouldn't threaten us. It shouldn't scare us. Because God's created the diversity of the world we live in, and you and I need to celebrate the diversity of the world that we live in. And we need to accept that diversity in each other as well. We need to team up against the devil and not each other. Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need to team up against the devil and not against each other. So let's celebrate diversity, folks. Let's celebrate it. I heard a story recently about a missionary who went to a foreign field to reach people for Christ, and he did everything he knew to do, but he wasn't reaching anyone. He was failing, and so he was called away by the mission board, and another missionary was sent in, and he tried for a while, did everything he knew to do, and same thing. He wasn't reaching anybody. And then another missionary was sent, and all of a sudden, the missionary board started getting glowing reports back about people being saved and churches being built and folks rallying around the missionary that was there, and they went to visit to find out what he was doing. And he said, well, he said, when I arrived, I realized that they were different from me. They didn't understand the language that I spoke. I didn't understand their customs. I didn't understand how they thought and what they'd experienced and what they related to. And so he said, I said to them, you know, I know some things that you don't know, and you know some things that I don't know. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the things that you don't know if you'll tell me the things that I don't know. And he got to know them. They were different, but he got to know them and started winning them to Christ. So let's celebrate diversity for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the sake of lost souls and for the sake of the people around us that might be a little different from us. Let's determine, church, that we're going to put our prejudice aside because people are a little different from us. Let's ask God to use us to make a difference in the world that we live in. Let's ask him to show us how we can celebrate diversity and reach people, reach the world that we live in for Jesus Christ. Amen. Bow our heads, let's pray together.